What's up, my friend? Welcome to the Finding Direction podcast. My name is Stu Massengill, and I'm here every single week to bring you a passionate guest or message dedicated to helping you find your purpose so that you can live a life full of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for hanging out with me, and let's dive in. What's up, my friend? Welcome back to another episode here on Finding Direction. I am so excited to bring you this week's episode as I sit down with my good friend, Jordan Tarver, who, if you do not follow him on social media, you need to check out what this dude is up to. He is absolutely crushing it in life and inspiring so many people to live lives full of passion, fulfillment, happiness, and everything that we preach on this show. And so what we're actually going to do in this episode is we had Jordan on the show about a year and a half ago, and it was so much impact. We got such a good review from our listeners, from you, for this content that he brought. So I thought I would bring this episode back for you one more time as we get this year kicked off. And this episode, we're going to be talking about not settling for less and creating your life vision, something that will absolutely help you light yourself metaphorically on fire as you come into 2023 and create a life that truly just brings you juice, that fills you up, that gets you so excited to wake up and pursue your life. So on this episode, a few things you can expect is we talk about how Jordan went on a solo trip to Europe and it truly taught him the key on how to live life and what he specifically practiced on that trip to basically discover that secret. And he also talks about why you may need to go on a solo trip yourself. That could be a travel trip or some other trip that doesn't require you to travel anywhere, but it's still a trip within yourself. And we also talk about how you can start a side project that can ultimately turn into your full-time career. There are so many nuggets in this episode. I know you're going to enjoy it. If you're enjoying this episode, if you're enjoying this podcast, I would love for you to hit that subscribe button so you can hang out with us every single week as we bring you new guest episodes and also new solo episodes. So hit that subscribe button. And without further ado, here we go, my friend. All right, Jordan Tarver, welcome to the podcast, man. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, dude, stoked to do this. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, man. And so I'm curious for you, like, let's start off kind of as your early days. I'm curious, can you fill the audience in and like, what did life look like for little Jordan as you were growing up?
Yeah, I'm from a small town in Northern California, Rohnert Park, California, represent 40,000 people from, I guess, a big family. I'm the youngest of four, and we all went to a private school, which even shrunk my little world even smaller because it was a school of 40 people. And so my upbringing was very intimate in that aspect. Yeah. I went to a Montessori school, which is just a different style of learning than a traditional public school. But it has lended me, well, I believe it's lended me the access of creativity, the confidence to be my authentic self. And I think it's added, now that I get older, I look back, I think it's really added a huge layer to who I am, what I do, how I carry myself. And
what's like the form, what's like, how is the school different? Like what, other than it being like 40 people?
Yeah. So it's heavily focused on science and the arts. And it's what I like to call it's learn at your own level, I guess you'll say. You're in grade, like you're in, you know, first grade, second grade, third grade. Yeah. But for example, say you're in second grade, but you have like really good math skills. You could then go up a couple grades so you are learning at the correct level. And then everything's very
just math.
Yes. Yeah. So it was one schoolhouse. And so basically there was two separate rooms in there. And first through third grade was in a classroom together, and then fourth through six within a classroom together. And so everyone learns together in these groups. And so it's, you don't have your traditional like periods. You don't have, I didn't receive a letter grade until seventh grade my whole entire life. So
really,
you're not graded on a scale, which I think added a lot for me.
It's like liberating.
Exactly.
Because you're not like a 7-year-old kid and they're like, D, you suck. You're like, they're like, nah, your creativity could be a little better. Like your math could be a little bit better. You're just not quite there yet. It's not as like black and white of like, you're really good or you suck, which is like, you're so impressionable at a young age. I could only imagine that
like you said, it's like a beautiful gift that's carried through your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause I remember when I transferred into a public school eventually, cause it ended at sixth grade at the time.
Yeah.
I think it actually helped me detach from that, the grades as a whole. Like I didn't really have a relationship with grades before. And so they didn't maybe serve as a big of a stress point for me, which I think was a good thing because it allowed me to, you know, take a test or excel in an area without worrying about the result and more focus on the quality of work, which I think had paid its dividends over time with the type of student I was. But yeah, it's a very, very different type of learning, but I think it's something that, you know, really has added so much value. And I feel like as I get older, I start to realize more and more how it's still integrated in my life.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of crazy as you like grow up. It's like you go to school and eventually you like kind of shrink in a sense, right? It's like you're this like expressive young kid that comes in and you're answering questions wrongly and like learning from it. And all of a sudden, like people laugh at you, things happen. All of a sudden you shrink into kind of this person versus if you're looked at in that different way, it's just such a interesting thing. When you went into like seventh grade and beyond, did you get like a bunch, like, did you do well, like grade wise? Were you like,
I
just didn't care.
I was a very good student. Had really good grades all through high school or middle school and high school. I started my freshman year of high school with a 4.1.
Oh, dang. So you were crushing.
I was crushing. I don't know if that really, the not having grades really played the role that got me there. I really think the education I got as an elementary student, which, you know, you don't hear many people say that's, you know, an education that really played a huge role in their life. But for me, and I would assume my siblings as well, I haven't talked to them lately about this, but for me at least, like when I think about what part of my schooling journey really has added the most value to my life, it's elementary school.
So by far. Rad.
Yeah. It's very interesting that that's the kind of relationship I have with that school. But, you know, I'm grateful just immensely to this day that my parents, you know, wanted to put us in a program like that. It's, you know, and wanted to, you know, finance some schooling that, you know, at that young of an age, but it's really paying off. It really is paying off.
Yeah. I feel like we go down a rabbit hole for that for a while. That's cool though. So then let's say eventually you go back to, you know, quote unquote, not like normal school, but you go back to like more societal, you have grades.
Yeah. Public school,
right? That's the correct term for it. Thank you. And eventually you go to school and I'm curious, like, did you have an idea of what you wanted to do? Like, were you one of those kids that said like, when I grow up, I want to be fill in the blank? Or as you went through high school and college, kind of how did you approach that?
Yeah, I think once I was getting closer to my college years, I could maybe formulate better, you know, ideas of what a career would look like. And I come from a family where our father is a very successful guy in marketing. He's been in the wine industry for 35 plus years. And growing up, watching him and his path as a businessman, as a, you know, his son and a young kid, you naturally kind of aspire to do something similar.
Yeah.
And so I always had this, you know, vision for just being in business. I also, you know, was attracted to a sexy paycheck. My
as
older
many
brother.
People are.
Yeah, exactly. How could you not be?
For sure.
And then as my siblings got into college, my oldest brother was a finance major. And so those, I guess the people I looked up to kind of dictated the path that I envisioned for myself at the time.
Yeah.
And so when I moved into college, I knew what I wanted to major in. I declared my major pretty early on in school. I got a degree in business finance. And that's kind of like what led me in the direction that it was at the time.
Right.
And that's kind of how I ended up in the financial world to start.
Right. It's an interesting statistic I was thinking about the other day is like, I wonder, and I didn't even Google it, which probably would have been a good start, but I wonder how many people...
right, maybe you're the first person to come up with it.
Yeah, maybe I am. Don't steal this idea, people. But it's like, how many people go in the same line of work as their parents? Like, I know there's statistics around it. I forget what it is, like 80 or 90% of people, if your parents grew up as entrepreneurs, you go into entrepreneurship. And if your parents didn't, you don't. And there's like, it's a really large statistic on following entrepreneurship versus not. But as far as like career field, it's, I've always wondered what that is, because I feel like a lot of the time you talk to people and it's just, like you said, it's natural. You go, well, my dad did this, or my mom did this, or even to the extent of like my uncle or my aunt,
right?
Or my older sibling. It's like so often you, I mean, especially to the parents, you follow like exactly what it is that they did, weirdly. Like I've done the same thing with my mom. She's a life coach. And I've eventually one day realized I wanted to help people and all this. And one of our good family friends was like, she's like, I could have told you you were going to do this 10 years ago. It's just so interesting.
Well, it's like, it's the way I think about it when you're talking about that statistic is at the time when maybe you're looking up to them, your knowing of the world is so narrow, and what you may know is, you know, what you see, and what you see is what your parents are leading by example. And so that to you is the normal thing, the comfortable thing, the next step. And I think that may, you know, I guess just be the reason that people do that, because that's what they see in their everyday life.
Right. It's like, there's a saying, it's like, you don't know what you don't know. That's why you don't have. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you grew up and all you know is mom does this, dad does that, it's like, it's your world. So it makes sense that you, that's a good point. So let's say we jump forward, then you graduate, you're like finance, got this major, and fill us in kind of starting at like your travels. Cause I know obviously your travels were massively impactful in your life. Mm-hmm. So kind of fill us in on, you know, you decide to go to Europe for a couple of months, and just kind of fill us in there with some of the shifts that happened for you.
Yeah. So graduated college in 2016, and I always had this just draw to overseas travel. My siblings had done it. My parents never, I guess, placed an expectation in my life of going into the workforce. They were always very much, and still are, encouraging to follow what felt best in our hearts as just people, and
shout
letting
out to the
us, exactly. Yeah. Major shout out. And so always encouraging us to, you know, take the next step that felt right for us. And at the time, you know, going into corporate America with my finance degree didn't feel right for me. And so I didn't do that. And so decided to fly to Europe, which meant it started as a trip with a buddy, but he actually got a job, needed to train during the summer, couldn't go. And then it was, you know, left as this opportunity. At first it was a challenge that I was like, oh shit, like I got to do this by myself, which is very out of character for me. I was not a confident person at the time at all. I still felt uncertain about who I was, what I was trying to do, just didn't really feel in myself fully quite yet. And so that was out of character for me to go by myself. But I think, you know, it was a very big blessing in disguise, because it was really the first moment of me being forced outside my comfort zone. And that was the fire under my ass. That was the, you know, the ignition to, you know, get this journey started of really figuring out why I'm here, what I want to do, how I want to carry myself in the world, what impact I want to leave on people. And so taking that trip by myself was one of the, if not the most, you know, transformational experiences in my life.
Yeah. So I know I was in doing some research for you. You were saying like, and I had a very similar thing happen in my life where like, I was going to travel. I was trying to find myself. I was going to go with a good friend 2 weeks before he bailed. So like, I can very much relate to, you're like, oh shit, I'm hopping on a plane next week by myself. But I know one of the things that I heard you say is like, cause it like is a cliche. You go to travel to find yourself, but you were like, I really like found myself.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, if we look at that part of your life, what would you say were three things in specific, if three things would pop up that helped you figure out who you were?
I think, I mean, number one, and I said it earlier, was just being outside of my comfort zone, being away from my bubble. It allowed me to almost break free of who I thought I was because of maybe the tendencies or insecurities I embraced or that engulfed me from my past. And so it allowed me to almost like have a reset and redefine who Jordan Tarver was, who Jordan Tarver was to myself. And it allowed me to explore new things. And that really got me in touch with a lot of the things that I found that I'm passionate about and that I love. So I think getting outside my comfort zone was, you know, one of the biggest, I guess, things that happened for me in that trip that really led me to discovering, you know, myself. Another thing, I wanted this trip. I'm a very intentional person, a very introspective person. And I wanted this trip to mean more than just a European tour. And so I got a journal, a leather-bound journal. I made the patch on it to kind of give it a little bit more meaning. It said, to whom it may concern. The idea was I wanted to write this journal to document the experiences I was having, the lessons I was learning. And the reason why I called it To Whom It May Concern is because if it were to fall out of my bag, whoever would pick it up, they would be able to read it and learn something as if it was written to them. And so that was something I brought along with my trip, journal daily. At the time, I wasn't a writer at all. This is the first time I really was dabbling with writing. And that's actually how I introduced myself to writing and the craft. And that was my first, just interaction with writing as a whole. And obviously now I have a book, I'm an author, and I fell in love with it clearly. And I found that there was a way I could use my words to impact people positively. And that was like a big thing for me. And so journaling as a whole has continued to allow me to learn more about myself, to become more aware of what's happening internally, externally, process emotions and everything like that.
And when you were in Europe journaling, did you, like, I know now from my research, you journal daily, it's part of your life and your creation process and all these things. But when you were in Europe and you were like starting this process, did you do prompts? Would you just be writing about like the Italian phenomenal food you ate the day before? Like, what would you be writing about? How would you go about this writing process?
Yeah, it was basically doing free writing, but the goal was to recap what was happening around me just so I could basically create a story that I could, you know, read back on, that my, you know, future generations, my kids, their kids, and so on could read back on. And so it was more of what happened today, how did it make me feel, what am I going through, those types of things. And that way, that allowed me to do a lot of self-reflection when I came back. I actually reread the book, ended up transcribing it into Google Docs. And then turned it into its own little book, a passion project I released just to my small community at the time. And it was my way of helping people learn from my trip that may not have that same experience, but there are lessons that I learned that everyone can learn from.
Yeah. Was, if you could go back to that time in Europe, and how long were you there, by the way?
It was meant to be 5 weeks, but I ended up staying for 3 months.
Nice.
Yeah.
What's up, my friends? It's Stu, and I have big news for 2021. After interviewing hundreds of people on their journey in life and experiencing my own journey to a life full of fulfillment and passion, I finally put together a special guide just for you. And it's called 3 Steps to Finding Direction in Under 10 Minutes. And you can go grab it at findingdirectionuniversity.com/3steps. If you're feeling lost and like you're not quite sure what you want to do with your life, this guide will help you figure out exactly what your next step is in just under 10 minutes. You're not alone in this journey, and I'm excited to guide you through this process until you've truly created a life that you love. Go grab the guide at findingdirectionuniversity.com/3steps. I look forward to helping you create your dream life.
So I'm curious, in that time you're journaling, are there any moments you look back on that you were like one of those moments where you're journaling and all of a sudden you're like, holy shit, like I never thought about it this way, or like just something that like clicked in your brain or switched? Was there ever a moment you can think back on that when you were journaling, you were like just had like almost like an epiphany, like, holy crap. Did you ever have any of those moments?
I think most of those moments actually came after the fact. I think for me, journaling has played a big role because it creates a way to have a really good, I guess, session of self-reflection.
Yeah.
And so when I was journaling, it was go, go, go. I was, you know, train hopping and train surfing across the entire continent. So I didn't really have time to, you know, sit down and think. But, and at the same time, I was like 21. I wasn't, you know, in that right mindset quite yet. And so I think a lot of those epiphanies really happened when I came back and then reread it at the end of it all.
Gotcha. What was one of the epiphanies?
I mean, I sound like a broken record, but for me, it's all about the amount of life you have access to outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah. I'm one of my favorite quotes in the world is successful people, and not successful being defined by like monetary, but like someone that enjoys their life, that's happy, that's passionate, that's fulfilled, mm-hmm. that's progressively getting closer to the goal that they have for themselves. Is that's not the quote, but the quote is successful people do what's uncomfortable until it becomes comfortable. And that's why they're successful. Right. It's like you really do have to get outside of your comfort zone to like discover yourself and to push yourself. And yeah, I could talk to you about this for hours. I'm such a similar believer that like life begins at the end of your comfort zone.
It's so true, because if you actually like discover is to find new things in simplest terms, that's what discover means. And so you're not going to find new things inside your comfort zone because you know everything. Fact. Everything's making you comfortable and nothing's new. And so if you're actually looking to discover yourself or discover a passion or to discover your purpose, you're not going to be able to do that inside of your bubble. Just by complete nature, it's impossible.
Yeah. So real. Yeah, it's interesting because the first place I went when I traveled by myself was Bali. And I was supposed to go to Hawaii, and then I was planning to go to New Zealand, and long story short, ended up in Bali accidentally for 3 weeks. And I would journal every single day. And it's interesting that one of the big takeaways for me is like you're by yourself and you find yourself, at least from my experience, some days that are like the best days ever. And some days where you're like, damn, like I'm slightly depressed and I'm like by myself and I'm in the middle of nowhere and I don't know anybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you experience all of the thoughts. And what I began to do is I was like, let me intentionally put positive thoughts into my head for what I want to create. And so I would write like, I'm so happy and grateful now that I've met an unbelievable group of humans on this island, or like, I'm so happy and grateful now that I'm on the most incredible adventure, like all these things. And it was literally wild how in 2 days after I would write something, like I would manifest it and it would be real in my life. And all of a sudden I was with all these incredible people. And it was so crazy. And it's something I do in my life today where it's like every single day, just like you journal, I write down 5 things I'm grateful for that I have in my life. And then 5 things I'm grateful for that I don't have, but I want to create and bring into my life. And it's this process of like intentionally putting thoughts into your head so then you can go create those. And it was, I mean, very similar to you. It was like in this journaling process, which is a beautiful process.
And just, I mean, I guess for listeners that might actually want to do the thing that you just said, the five things that you want in your life, are you writing those as present tense like you already have them?
Exactly.
Perfect. Cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yes. Yeah. Because the way your brain works, right, is like your conscious and your unconscious mind don't know the difference from what you say to it. Mm-hmm. So it's like oftentimes we go through life and we go, I want to make $100,000 a year, whatever we say. And the way your brain registers it is, I want to make $100,000. So your brain is always in, you're living this life of wanting to make $100,000. But if you write down, I'm so happy and grateful that I'm making $100,000, your conscious and unconscious doesn't know the difference. So you begin to manifest that as a reality in your life.
Yeah, for sure. And I always end even now every journal session with five to seven positive affirmations and that kind of same energy. And I think for people that are looking to try something like this, it might feel awkward at first when you write those things, almost like you're kind of lying to yourself. You're like, oh, this isn't real. This is like a bunch of BS, but there is so much power and there is so much value in taking that practice, and it doesn't need to be public. You can keep it to yourself and write the things that you really, you know, want to harness.
Yeah. And I would say too, it's just like, just try it. You know what I mean? Like you may try it and it may feel weird and do it for a week. And you may all of a sudden go like, holy crap, I wrote this thing down and it something happened this week that is going to get me closer to that thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Or you may try it for a week and you may go, this isn't for me. But I think one of the biggest things is like, just go try it, experiment with it, play with it. See, does it feel good? Does it feel, you know, and just allow yourself to be in that energy and maybe something cool happened. So
yeah, the coolest part is when you look back and you're like, oh shit, that actually did happen. You know,
that's the craziest part for sure. For sure. You're like, whoa, I was writing about that thing 6 months ago and it's it's real. So let's say we continue in your story. I guess one thing I would be curious for you is, obviously, with having such an impact on your life from like putting yourself in self-discovery for 3 months, not like isolating yourself, but like doing a solo trip.
Yeah.
What do you think is the importance of like spending time with ourselves just by ourselves? Like, for an example, I have a friend and I think he does this twice a year, is he literally will book like an Airbnb in a city and he'll go drive there for the weekend or do a 3-day weekend and he'll just be by himself. And he's like, it's just for me to be by myself with my thoughts. He's like, I put my phone away, so I'm not immersed in that. And it's like allowed him to continuously be so intentional about his life. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious for you, like, what do you think is the importance of someone like, easier said than done, obviously.
Yeah.
But like, why is it necessary to like, to be like, yo, you need to go like spend time by yourself?
I think it really helps remove maybe the repeated distractions or repeated stressors in your current life. And once you can weed out that stuff, you can actually like be in a mental state that allows you to, you know, think about those things about discovering yourself, maybe think outside the box. But when we're doing the same thing every day, surrounded by a bunch of people, you know, have notifications firing on our phones, it's really, really hard to actually take time for yourself. Even if you think you're taking your time, you're still thinking about, you know, X, Y, and Z back here in your head. So I think it really just allows you to kind of center yourself in a space that is going to allow you to actually, you know, make progress on that journey.
Yeah, 100%. And one thing, again, I was listening to a different podcast you were on, and one of the things you said that I was like, that's so real. And it was more apparent in travel, but it's like, you were like, I didn't go to any museums when I was in Europe because I didn't want to go to museums. And I didn't have someone else that wanted to go to a museum, and I didn't have to worry about making them enjoy their trip because like I was by myself. And I think so many times in life, if we don't like isolate, again, probably being the wrong word, but like if we don't force ourselves to have our like me time, we get into this state of like, well, my parents want me to do this thing, or my friends are all doing this thing, or that person's doing this thing. And we almost go into this creation space of our life because he said, she said,
yeah,
when we got to take the time to be like, do I want to go to museums? Do I not want to go to museums? Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't. So like, I'm not going to go to museums.
Yeah. And I think another, a couple things that I learned from my trip that I've, you know, carried with me ever since was, one, follow your interests, and very big emphasis on your interests. I think that will really help you discover yourself, because if you do the things that interest you, you're naturally going to be guided into living a life more aligned with your beliefs and values. And that's something that, like, for example, the museum thing, I was solo at the time. I wasn't a big museum guy. And so I was just like, I'm not going to do that. But I know that so many people go to museums in Europe because they're incredible and there's incredible art and history there. But at the time for me, that just wasn't what I was looking for. And I think that was the blessing of being alone. It's because I could choose it. I could be like, nah, you know, we're not going to do that. We're going to do whatever it was in place of that. And so, yeah, I think it's just really important to follow what you want to do. And if something doesn't interest you, you know, you should feel like you have the permission to say no, even though maybe society makes you feel like, you know, you have to be a yes man or a yes person. But that's my belief is, you know, follow your interest and you're going to be, you know, aligned with what you value most.
Right. So let's say we jump back into your story, right? So you get home from Europe. If my timing is correct, you go start working for a mortgage company for 2 years. And eventually, I'm guessing this idea that you're just talking about of follow your interests gets into your mind and you go, I enjoyed writing in Europe, so I'm going to start writing. And obviously I'm clearly missing some spaces in this thing, but like,
you're doing good.
Thank you. So fill us in though. So you're doing something, you realize you don't like it. You're at this mortgage company. You realize you like writing. Obviously now you're an author of a few books. So like, and you don't work at the mortgage company anymore. You're writing at Forbes as well. You're doing all these things now because you followed your interest, but put us into the moment of like kind of how you went from being at this job, you didn't like it, to following your interest, to now really some of the things that you're doing today.
Yeah. So, got back from Europe and I had about a 2 month lull until I started that first job. But yeah, worked at a mortgage company, was in the industry for 2 years, and it one day just clicked. Like, I'm so fucking bored in here. Like, is this terrible? If I'm going to be doing this, you know, at the time I'm 20, I think I was 22. If I'm going to be doing this, you know, working for the rest of my life, I have to be doing something that interests me. I have to be doing something that makes me feel fulfilled. And I, you know, go home every day feeling depleted. This isn't where I want to exist for the rest of my life. And that was the switch. It really was. I was like, kind of like, oh, whoa, this is, you know, we gotta make some changes here if I want to feel, you know, happy with what I'm doing. And like you said, I kind of realized, okay, like, what are my skills? Like, what are my actual skills that could provide value to, you know, a company, to other people? And so I kind of just ran through the different creative things I was really good at, because I'm a very creative person, photographer, and writer. Yeah. And so I was like, okay, what do I want to like get into? Where can I like, you know, take these things? And writing was something that kind of stuck out at me because I could freelance. And so I could do that at the same time that I was working this 9-to-5. And because I didn't have a journalism background, I was going to need some maybe freelance practice to build up samples to really prove myself in the space. Yeah. And so luckily my brother, who is also in the same kind of work that I do, he had some past freelance clients. And so he dished them off to me. They were looking for some couple articles a month or whatever it was. And so I was working like 10-hour days. I would work at the mortgage company, you know, 9-to-5, and then come home and basically write before and after dinner, which was like, you know, 2 to 3 hours of doing freelance stuff. And so it was a grind. It was really a grind, but I knew what the reward would be if I, you know, put myself through that work and just, you know, put my head down for 6 months. I knew that I could get somewhere where I could be happy with what I was doing every day. I could be excited to come to work and feel like I was, you know, creating the impact that I wanted to create. And after, you know, freelancing for some time, I eventually landed my first writing gig with a publication out of New York City, stayed there for 2 years, and then eventually was headhunted by Forbes. And that's where I'm editing right now.
Let's go.
And, yeah, so. And
two things too, I think, is just like, just ridiculous amount of kudos to you to saying like, I'm not happy and let me do something about it. You know, I think it's unfortunate that so many people don't love what they do and they just settle, you know, and they go, yeah, I don't love it, but that's life. And you just go through it and you don't really enjoy it. So like, kudos to you. And I think one thing I'm seeing that helped pull you into that, because some people may go, I don't like this. And, you know, I don't really know what this other thing is. I may like writing, but like, what's going to come of it? I think one thing that I'm hearing in your own story is like, you had a vision of where you wanted it to go, right? Where it's like, I got writing, and if I can do this, I can, you know, freelance for a little bit, then it could lead to something else. I can build my credibility. And I think it's just a beautiful nugget for anyone listening to this, that if you want to go to something else, like do it maybe on the side at first to get some momentum built up. But most importantly, like have a vision of really what you want to create. Because I'm sure there were days where you got home and you're like, damn, I'm depleted. I had a shitty 8 hours at the mortgage company and I like don't want to write. I got these people that need me to write from. But it's like when you go back to that vision of like, but no, if I keep doing this, I'll get the credibility and then I can go to somewhere else and it eventually can lead to this other life. I just have to imagine that having that vision allowed you to really like take the action, even when some days you didn't want to take the action.
Yeah, I think the vision really helps, because while it gives you the destination, for example. So for me, my vision was a full-time writing gig. That was the thing I was manifesting. I didn't want to be a freelancer because I just wanted something more secure and then somewhere where I could really just grow with the company. And so the end goal was a full-time writing gig, but I knew, like, you got to be realistic. I knew that wasn't the next step. You know, I knew there was some stuff that had to happen between, and one of those things was freelancing. And even though I didn't want to do it, I remembered the purpose. The purpose was to get me to the thing that I wanted, the thing that I was manifesting. And so that helped me stick, you know, through the process, and remembering the purpose too helped me fall in love with the process, because it gave reason. It gave, you know, it gave weight, and it gave, I guess, a purpose to the process. And if I didn't have that, I feel like I would have quit, because it was really tough. And it was like, you know, writing at 7 p.m., 8 p.m., 9 p.m., after a long day and have to get up and, you know, do it all over again. It was tough. And so just being able to remind myself, okay, you're doing this because of X, you know, that was the fuel. That was the, you know, the fire to keep me going.
Love it, man. So cool. So fill us in then. Obviously you have your book that you've come out relatively recently with, You Deserve This Shit. So fill us in a little bit on, I guess, just like, what's the book about? And, you know, what's maybe like a nugget or two that, our listeners can take away from it.
Yeah. The purpose of the book was to take everything that I've learned so far in my own journey and teach people lessons and give them tools that can help them get unstuck, find their path, and become the best version of themselves. And so I really wanted to create a digestible toolkit, let's call it, of self-discovery, tips, tricks, hacks, those kind of things that can really help you on your journey. And these are all things that I've gone through. I teach from a place of personal experience. So everything in the book has happened to me, and I've seen the benefits of it. And that's why I believe in the book so much, because I've seen all this stuff already play a role in my life. And so I know it can do that for other people. And so the book is, you know, it's split into three different pillars, the three pillars of self-discovery, which is something I developed through writing this book, which are awareness, comfort zones, and intentional living. And I believe when you focus on those three areas and you double down and master yourself in each of those areas, you give yourself the greatest opportunity to become the best version of yourself.
Mm, love it. And so let's say someone is feeling stuck and they're listening to this and they're not quite sure, like, what's that next step? What would you say is one thing that they can do to get a little bit unstuck?
I tell this to every single person that asks me this question, try something new. You got to just, you got to get out of your normal routine, break your routine, do something different, shake it up, even if it's going to feel uncomfortable, because it's going to feel uncomfortable. That's like the quickest way to really just kind of flip a switch is do something different, try something new. And even if it's not the exact direction you want to end up in, you know, one pivot's going to lead to another pivot. So make your first pivot to get away from the things that are holding you back. And that way you can kind of like reopen your path and reopen your world and kind of, just refresh your vision of where you want to go.
Yeah. Heck yeah, man. So if people want to find more info on you, Jordan, if people want to get a hold of the book, see what you're up to, where's the best place for people to check you out?
Yeah, I'm most active on Instagram, just my name, at Jordan Tarver. If you want to pick up the book, just go to jordantarver.com and you'll see a spot to do that.
Perfect. Perfect, man. And so last question I have for you, this is a question we ask every guest because we want to help people find direction in life, but we want to do it through like action, not just sit on your couch. Like, you got to do something to figure it out. And so I would be curious, what would you say is one thing someone listening to this can do in the next 24 to 48 hours to start finding direction in their life?
Journal about what you're grateful for. Because often the things you're grateful for could help lead you into the direction that you're going to be most happy. You know, if you're grateful for spending time with family, for example, maybe you start to spend more time with family and it helps you realize you haven't been doing that enough. And so maybe it's going to help you realize that you haven't been doing enough of the things that make you happy. And so if you realize the things that make you happy, you can do more of those things and you can start to feel this direction of what you want to surround yourself with, what you want to engulf yourself in.
Yeah.
And those are the things that are really going to push you in the direction that you belong.
Let's go. Let's go, man. I'm a huge fan of that. I love it. So Jordan, my man, thank you so much for being here, man. It's been truly an honor. Excited to continue to see what you're up to, man. And just thank you for being here on the podcast today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you too, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Congratulations, my friend, on crushing it through another episode here on Finding Direction. Make sure to give yourself a pat on the back, a round of applause, because you are one of the few who is not willing to settle for less than a life that lights up your soul. And that is absolutely something worth celebrating. I hope you got massive, massive value from this conversation with myself and Jordan Tarver. And more importantly, as always, I hope you take some of those things and you go execute and apply some of them to your life as we step into and almost close out the first month of 2023. Other than that, my friend, I hope you have a wonderful, outstanding, unbelievable, incredible rest of your day. And I will talk to you on the podcast soon. Take care.